Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We have the following segment with John Duresh right after this segment here. So in other words, when we go to break, we'll come back and we'll finish up that conversation that we had with John Duresh but a couple weeks ago regarding the citizen grand jury and some questions that I had for him that kind of follow up and so forth. So anyway, we will get back to that. But what I want to do is I kind of want to lay out this, you know, I'm still in discovery regarding the citizen grand jury. Why? Because it wasn't really disclosed or wasn't spoke a lot about in the constitutional documents that I've immersed myself in. So this is a completely different and a kind of like a new pool for me to swim in. So I'm soaking it in, and I'm going to lean on these experts. I will be calling Brent Winters eventually in the next couple of weeks to get an interview with him. He can break down the details. He's a subject matter expert on common law. And why is that important? Because as we've already heard, common law is the foundation that citizen grand juries are built upon, along with our individual liberties, our inalienable rights that go all the way back as we've talked about. And I will be able to give you more profound information. Not that I'm going to become a subject matter expert, but I'm going to become pretty smart on this, because there's no doubt this is another spoke in the wheel of what we need to do in getting this entire constitutional republic firing on all cylinders as it was back when the framers, because bottom line, even if we get republic review, we still, I mean, as we start moving, I mean, I honestly see this as a symbiotic tool, something that we'll have a mutual relationship with Republic Review and the Citizens Grand Jury. So anyway, let me kind of go through some of these other things that I think is important to cover. First off, as you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gets into the academic evidence necessary to come up with academic evidence-based solutions, as you well know, of course. The question I have is, are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the solution? I go over this and I kind of... I don't want to say I want to harangue you on this, because that's definitely not the intent. But the question is, how do you become a part of the solution? Well, listening to this show, getting informed, that's important. That's one part of it. Getting other people to listen to the show, that's a big part of it. Because as people start understanding the message, understanding, you know what, we actually have a process. We don't need to create a tea party. We don't need, all we need to do, and I've said this before, I'd love to see a merger and acquisition. I'd love to see the Republican Party become the Constitutional Party and the Libertarian Party all in one, where the party is no longer based on agendas. It is strictly based on the law of the land. And if you talk to any leadership within the Constitutional Party, the Libertarian Party, then you'll find that, yeah, you know, we absolutely support, you know, compliance to the Constitution, and that what we have to do if we want to empower the federal government to do something, or we want to delegate more powers, we have to actually do that. We have to delegate powers to them. And so with that, it let's just say it only makes sense. It doesn't hurt my head to really put this into context to say, there's no reason why the Republican Party can't actually pull these other parties back in. Not by pulling them in, but by attracting them in, like a magnetic attraction. Making the Republican Party focus on the Constitution, getting rid of all of the personal... I don't want to turn any religious people off, because, you know, I get into religious rants myself, but the fact of the matter is this really is not about religion. It's about compliance to the Constitution. The Constitution protects your individual religious expressions. And if we gain complete compliance, it gets all of the religions freed up from government tyranny, from federal tyranny, from constraining religions from being able to proselyte, to openly express themselves, especially moral religions. Now, it goes down to states. States still have the power to erect, let's just call them, or establish churches. And we go into this when we get into the 14th Amendment and go through the Bill of Rights. So you may want to go back to the podcast where we've talked about this before. But bottom line, your state actually has the authority, unless it is in their constitution, it's in your constitution at the state, that, you know, all religions shall be free and that there should be no establishment of a religion. Because previously, states used to have religion, and or I should say sponsored religion, where they would give taxes to the established religion. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb real quick here, and I'm going to tell you that states could actually go back to that same methodology, but instead of sponsoring a single religion, they can sponsor religions that actually provide and come to the table and say, we can do this. So in other words, let's say you have, you know, five big hitters in your state. You've got the Lutherans, you've got the Catholics, or you've got the Protestants. Let's just say Protestants, Catholics. You have the Jewish faith, and let's say you have the LDS or the Mormon faith, and let's just say you have evangelical. Because evangelical is, you know, a kind of a different class or different group. And so, but all of these religions are predominant in your state. Well, your state could actually say, hey, we want to delegate to you the ability to administer compassionate services. And compassionate services could then be administered far more efficiently so that those people who are recipients of, you know, welfare would need to go to your local church and use the local church for that. Just imagine how much more streamlined it can be, because all of a sudden the churches would only be getting, you know, whatever, and their administrative fees would be far less than the government having separate government buildings throughout the state and so forth. Because these church buildings already exist, and they have to exist in administering. So education and other compassionate services are types of things that the churches could be able to do far more efficiently. Now, the curriculum, I'm just throwing it out here, the curriculum should not be set by the churches or should not be set by the state. I truly believe that corporations, or I should say businesses, and not necessarily tech corporations who have nefarious designs, but the employers of America should actually have a huge say in what these kids are learning, because they're going to have to inherit these kids as employees. They don't want kids to be socially engineered to have to come in and start crying because somebody said mean words to them. They want people to actually be able to, you know, roll up their sleeves and get to work, be able to do the formulas that they need, or be able to, you know, build or do the things that the employer needs done. They're huge, I'll just say, stakeholders. The employers are huge participants. They're definitely investors in our education system, or they have a huge stock in what is coming out of the education system. And we shouldn't be putting an extra tax on them, because I tell you, coming from the tech world, as we've seen all sorts of kids with tech degrees and so forth, coming into employment, they need a level of kind of indoctrination. And the way social engineering has gone, corporations have been straddled with all sorts of social engineering crap that has forced them to spend a lot of money supporting minority groups and supporting, I'll just say, outliers that actually cost the average employee more money. That's why healthcare goes up. That's why their benefit costs go up because they're having to shell out the cost for social engineering. A great example of that is gender dysphoria and so forth. But anyway, I didn't mean to go down this rant. What I wanted to do was I wanted to actually say that I am not getting back to the citizens grand jury. I am still learning, and I hope you're still learning, because when we come back from the break, which is about a minute away, we will be getting back with John Durash. The other thing I'd just like to say is we do have Red State Coffee out on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and when we come back, as well as our GoFundMe. So when we come back after this interview with John Durash, I've got some information that I wanted to share with you regarding the coronavirus. This is kind of just brand new insights that go, oh, huh, what a coincidence. You know, and it's going to start making you think, what the heck is going on? And why is this coronavirus all of a sudden a pandemic? And this information will kind of help you understand that there's far less coincidence and far more manipulation that has obviously occurred than you're going to want to admit. And I know this has the smacks of conspiracy, but I'm telling you, the word conspiracy existed long before we've been indoctrinated and brainwashed into believing that those who espouse conspiracy theories are, you know, wackos and so forth. But anyway, I'll let you decide, but we're going to go into a break real quick. We'll be back with John Durash, and then we will be back talking about the coronavirus. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so having you back now, one of the things I wanted to share with you is this problem with Virginia and what you're dealing with. I've done a lot of research on this, and the Constitution has never been modified. The only entity that has the authority per the Constitution to enforce the laws of the Union are the militia.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so
the power and the authority of the people is unlimited. Okay.
Right.
ultimately, and we can dismantle the whole thing. We can replace people, and that's what we're doing in our case right now.
Right.
We've made that clear, and we're making it clear again.
Right.
Let me just read something. I don't know. Have you read our writ quo warranto that we're getting ready to file? We haven't filed it yet.
No, I haven't. What I'm doing is I'm just offering to you my assistance on the academic side of this. The framers were very clear that they did not want to create a standing army. So what they did was they galvanized in the Constitution the ability that only the states could. And so in other words, we have a self-government. We are responsible for enforcing the Constitution. That's why Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15 states that only the militia can execute the laws of the Union and repel invasions and suppress insurrection. And so,
you got it.
And I've got all the ratification debate discussions regarding this. It's the same thing with martial law. They cannot create a standing army in America to enforce federal law without amending the Constitution. And that's why the ratification debate
even
really
with
clarified
that,
this.
Look at, we are a common law nation. They can't even do that. There's no amendment possibility for that kind of a thing. What I don't know if you realize this, from where common law actually rises from, it goes back to 1600 B.C. When the Israelites left Egypt. And I don't know if you're aware or familiar with the fact that
Franklin, and Adams, and the first seal of America. Absolutely.
Right. Okay, so with that said and done, we need to go back and look at how did these people live? How did they enforce anything? And there's a guy whose book I mentioned on the air before with you was Brent Winters. You really should have him come on and talk. And he would be perfect to come, kind of follow me if you're going to do a series 1, 2, 3 or whatever, and then have him come in. Even if he comes in between, it doesn't matter, because he can fill in a lot of things. His knowledge, I've got a lot of my knowledge of common law from him, and from other places, of course. But he really has been the key to my knowledge here in these things. He's got a really great understanding, again, of the common law itself. He wrote a pretty decent sized book, over 600 pages. Concerning the common law and where it comes from, and it was Jefferson that discovered this and pulled this out. And in Israel, the people of Israel between the ages of 20 and 45, which is where we get some of our language, they are required to respond in an emergency. The people younger than 20 can respond, and people over 45 can respond, but the people 20 to 45 must respond. And so when Israel was invaded or a situation came up and they needed to pull forth an army, it was the people, the militia, all trained.
Right, right.
They went through training on a regular basis as a people.
Sure.
They were revered. And when they left Egypt and they wandered for their 40 years and finally came into the promised land, they were revered. And many people, when they passed through certain lands, and people, camped out with them and enjoyed the way that their life was, because they were a free people. They were common law people.
For 400 years. For 400 years they lived under that reign. Yeah.
And so they accepted, if people wanted to attach themselves and head out with them, they did, and they were received. You want to live as long as you accept our ways? Fine. They didn't have the opportunity, and they didn't, of course, to change things. Unfortunately, 400 years later, things happened and they wanted a king, and that was the problem.
Right, right. And plus, you got to also understand that they weren't ready to live the higher laws, because when Moses came down to give them the higher law, they were already debasing themselves, and so he went back up.
Right, all kinds of problems. That's why they wandered for 40 years.
Yes. So, all really good. So you're saying that this gentleman's name is Brent Winters.
Brent Allen Winters. He's on our program every Monday night. We've kind of almost partnership to some degree.
Okay, great.
We're on the Patriot soapbox now. I'm on Mondays. Brent is on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
And a co-founder with National Liberty Alliance, Gerard.
Okay.
I've tried to pull him in here, but he's too busy at the moment. He's on Wednesdays on the soapbox. But on Monday, Gerard, myself, and Brent comes on every Monday night. He gets 20 minutes or whatever he wants. Teaches usually, he's been working on the Declaration of Independence.
So who's the host of that segment? Who's the host of the segment?
I'm the main host, myself and Gerard, and but he has an open mic to pipe in and respond, and people ask him questions too.
Okay, so you're working with
Thumper 3 hours.
Right, so you're working with Thumper then.
Well, we're talking about our own personal. We have our own radio program and our own.
Is this a YouTube channel? Because there is a YouTube channel called Patriot Soapbox.
We're working with Thumper on during the day for Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Correct, on their YouTube channel.
Correct.
Okay.
But it's live streamed.
Yes, absolutely. I get it. No, I've been on. I live close to Thumper, and I've actually been on the Patriot Soapbox live stream 24/7. And right. Okay, so, yeah.
What I'm saying on the other side of things is we have a Monday night program, Open Forum, that's been going on for 8 years, 9 years, without any interruption. I think maybe the only time when Christmas fell on a Monday or something was about it.
Okay.
Even if New Year's fell on a Monday, we were open.
But this is not, what you're talking about is not a part of the YouTube channel.
This is our Open Forum program. We have a radio, an internet radio that transmits, and then also people come in into the room through an app or through a browser, many different ways to come in, or just a phone. And it's sort of it's a conference call. We don't permit any texting or anything like that, no videos or texting, unless we're going to broadcast something, but we don't really broadcast videos. And I come on and I usually lead in through things and talk about something. And then after that, Brent will come on for 20 minutes, and then Gerard takes over the platform for Q&A, and we all participate in that.
Great. So what I guess, I'll reach out to Brent.
I'll make the connection between you and him.
Okay, great. I really appreciate it. I know that you've only gotten a glimpse, but it doesn't take – this isn't rocket science.
Not at all.
Having the states step in – because the states have the political force over Congress.
Here's the problem. You're familiar, I'm sure, of course, with the problem of the 17th Amendment.
The 17th Amendment can be rescinded. It doesn't have to be repealed.
It's null and void because it's repugnant to the Constitution. It destroyed the balance of power. The states no longer have a say. You know, if you read right in the Constitution itself.
I'm not arguing, yeah. But one thing you may not, I'm sure you know this, that Delaware actually rescinded their rejection and formally ratified the 17th Amendment in 2010.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yes.
I'd like to get information on that. You know, did they send their own senators and fire the others?
No. So Delaware and all the other states have been using a general election. However, because they were bullied in saying, hey, this amendment is the supreme law of the land under this living constitution concept, ignoring Article 5's Amendment Protection Clause that no state mm-hmm. shall lose its equal suffrage in the Senate without his consent. So
correct.
Even Utah, all of these states that have not ratified it are still submitting themselves to this. And I'm trying to wake them up and say, you don't have to. But here's the beautiful thing.
We wrote a paper to all the governors explaining this problem and tell them they need to take back control and get back their consent of government through this process.
So I wrote an article about this because, bottom line, because the federal government allowed Delaware to change its position on this one amendment, every state can now go back and say, we don't want to do this, and we can rescind it by unratifying or rescinding the ratification and formally rejecting the amendment.
I'd love to get information on this, so if you can get that to me.
Absolutely.
Who set this up? Was it Francine that set our
this Telecon? Absolutely, yeah. She said
it was
this.
Francine. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any communications to me? I mean, you could try directly. You can call me here. And
she can send me your cell phone number. I try not to bother people.
But I lose a lot of things because I get so many things to do, I can't keep up with it. So any kind of contact with me should probably go through Francine.
That's fine.
You know, if you're going to send me something, you can contact me direct, of course. But if you're going to send me something, send it to Francine, and then she'll make sure I get it because I conference with her just about every day.
Okay, great. Awesome. I completely understand. And we're overloaded with information and under a constant barrage of read me, look at most important. I get it. I completely get it. So we have to have some filters, and sometimes people are the best way of filtering filters. So anyhow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate your time. Yeah, there's a couple of things that, you know, I would love to help you with, because I've got the academic research regarding the ratification.
Well, absolutely. We should just get together for a conversation in one of our private rooms and bring in Brent and bring in the leadership. You could bring in whoever you want. You come in and let's see how we can share information. You know, look at we all have error here or there, and we have to be able to admit that error and make those changes. Otherwise, you know, the whole thing falls apart.
So,
and I'm really thankful for Brent, because he's made some corrections in my thinking, and I'm sure I probably would have came, hopefully, around to the corrections eventually. But he, you know, shot me in the head and gave me some realizations and so on. And I'm sure we could do the same thing together.
Yeah, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. The reason I'm looking to connect with your organization is we already have Wyoming moving in the direction of auditing the Constitution. The Republican Party has actually passed resolutions. We're going to be actively involved in the elections this year in getting state legislatures to stand up and demand the audit and start moving to the other states. We're basically reliving the 1798 resolutions, doing exactly what Jefferson and Madison did in waking up the states and saying, these are all unconstitutional. We have to exert our power and political power over the federal government. And we can only do that combined. There's too many people that have convinced them that all they need to do is nullify. You have to collectively nullify as a court. In other words, and I can get into the details of how to do this, but once you have a majority control over Congress, both houses, so you need at least 25 for the Senate or 26, and technically with the current red states, with the reddest 27 states that we have, we would then have control over the House of Representatives as well. Then the states have the authority per Article 4 of the Constitution to charge their congresspeople who fail to comply to the Constitution, charge them with treason, bring them back to their states and replace them, because that is one of the ways you can unseat a congressperson. And then when you try them, if you can't get two full witnesses, then you at least can disqualify them, because Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is a disqualification process, not a criminal process. If you understand.
Do you have a transcript of your plan?
I have some overviews and so forth, but yeah, I've got some basics I'll send to Francine so that you can.
Yeah, I'll share this with Brent and Gerard also.
Sure.
Yeah, we're National Liberty Alliance.
Yes.
Anybody that wants to join, you know, when the militia down in Virginia approached us and we said, yeah, we'll like to work with you. Maybe we could make this national so we can, and so we're working together with that. And so there's sort of a partnership there. And, you know, we got committees, people trying to get people to do different things and research and so on. You're approaching something that I'd love to get involved with, but I don't have the time to spearhead it.
I understand.
Like you've already done this. And so, yeah, we should work together and
I agree.
Bring the lines together, do some, just getting into conversations to discover where we're at and where we can go and find whatever corrections we need to correct.
John, I really appreciate your time. I profoundly appreciate all the things you've done. You have to know Bob Schultz.
Oh, yeah, Robert Schultz. I know him back to the 1999.
So I've actually worked with him, and he's doing something kind of similar. I don't want to take up more of your time
now. The unfortunate thing is he plays in the sandbox of the statutory processes, and I've been trying to get him out of that for years. And, you know, him and I, for some reason, a little like water and oil. We were discussing one time some years back why can't I think of that?
Because he's very focused on the Magna Carta, and
he said that they had no right to be able to pull the king over on the side of the road. That thing was wrong, and he was arguing, debating against it, and I was kind of surprised by that. And I tried to explain to him, because the king got his authority from the people. Okay,
yep.
The original setup was not that the king was born into this whole thing. This king could be fired by the people.
Right.
And they set him up. They did what Israel did, was a major problem. And that's why Britain never was able to totally, be successful in what they were trying to do with the common law, and they lost it all quite quickly. But the United States here too, we're on the verge of losing it all. But I also see we're on the verge of saving it. And I don't know how biblical you are, but if you read the Bible enough, and you might want to look at Isaiah chapter 14.
Yes.
Because I think it's pretty clear that the nations are going to be judged, and I'm seeing it happen as we look. Nations are changing, and the New World Order is going to be judged, and that old nation process is going to be judged, it seems. And,
sure.
And the people are going to do it. You know, it's going to happen. It seems Isaiah 14 seems to express what's going on today.
Oh, yes. Revelations, Isaiah, Matthew, Daniel. I mean, there's all sorts of scriptures that, you know, provide.
Yeah, but Isaiah particularly gets very specific, talking about they will not build their dark cities around the world. I mean, it gets into some details, and it talks about the judgment of Satan and how he's cast out. And if you really look at it into the more deeper sense, there's a spiritual picture here, of course. But you can see that this is a prophetic focus on the end of the world. Prior to the judgment of the people, the nations will be judged first. And the nations are being judged when you look to see what Trump is doing. He's making huge changes, not only here, but around the world, the whole process. I'm sure you're familiar with X-22 report?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what's going on.
Well, so to be honest with you, I'm so focused on waking the states up and doing what I'm doing, I don't have the time. I'm just like you. I am focused on waking the state legislatures up to actually dismantle all of the unconstitutional powers to restore those things back to the states. And so some of the things we need to actually use is the grand jury in the process of removing people and so forth. So this is like a Swiss watch. And the beautiful thing is, I tell people this all the time, that the divine hand of providence knew exactly what we needed, which is why he, as a matter of fact, it wasn't until the Civil War where we received the 14th Amendment that we actually had the teeth within the Constitution with Section 3 to be able to remove and disqualify anybody who has violated their oath of office. That means judges, anybody.
Well, I think that's always been inside the Constitution. I don't know that it's been very clear. You do know that there's a major problem with the 14th Amendment, putting us under their jurisdiction. Well, the people are not under anybody's jurisdiction, but the jurisdiction of natural law.
Well, so that's only under interpretation, though, because I've actually read the debates on this 14th Amendment, and that was never the intent as the discussion, nor was
it. Well, it may not have been the intent, but you know how these people.
I understand, but this goes back to the legal process of, was it discussed? Because if it wasn't discussed as a term of that contract or that amendment to the contract, then it can't be implied. Hamilton tried to use implied powers when they were unconstitutional because it was clear that they actually spoke against those things or that they weren't implied at all. And so I get it, but I'm only talking about Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Section 2 is another good one regarding apportionment.
There's good things in there. There's no doubt about that.
Right. Okay.
It made certain things clear. But again, the enemy gets in here all the time, and they were in here back in 1776. You know, they were already in the game, you know, trying to prevent us from going forward with what we're doing.
Right.
Even after we became a nation.
You're absolutely correct.
And all that stuff. They've been here forever.
So I am a student of history, and most people don't know that in 1776.
Going back to the 14th Amendment, which was ratified in 1868, I think it was, do you say you have the debates on that?
Yeah.
Get a copy of that.
They're in the Congressional Globe. I've read through them. I'm actually pulling them out again. I just have to get the time to do it. I can send you
You got. I'd like to look into that. But here's the problem we have, okay? In Section 1, and this is really problematic, it really upsets the power structure here, and it places the people under the Constitution and under the government instead of above it all. But that's Section 1 where it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the states wherein they reside.
Right.
I am not, and you are not, subject to any jurisdiction other than law. It is true, of course.
Well, so,
we live in the state. We're a citizen of the state. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I can arrive in Jersey.
Yes, John.
And set up stakes and tent there, and I'm a citizen. It doesn't matter.
If you give me a second, if you understand the limitations of jurisdiction, the federal government only has jurisdiction over national security and over foreign commerce, those few powers. They don't have jurisdiction over the energy you consume, your education. They have no jurisdiction over science, medical, healthcare, life. They have no jurisdiction over that. Their only jurisdiction is for the national security regarding fighting wars, declaring wars, those enumerated powers. And so then we also fall under the jurisdiction of the states, and we also fall under the jurisdiction of the counties. But those are the divine hand gave us enumerated constitutions, except some states have actually adopted general powers. And so the states, so this is another thing that I'm not even really involved in, but I'm trying and working with other people to do this. There are states that need to have a complete constitutional convention to rewrite their state constitution back to enumerated powers. But I can easily go down all these different rat holes. The same thing with republicanism. American republicanism that Sherman presented in the Sherman Plan or the Connecticut Plan was recognizing the sovereign's involvement. As you pointed out, the Senate is a sovereign, or I should say the states as sovereigns send their representatives. So this American republicanism recognizes the representation of two sovereigns, the people and the sub-element of government.
Absolutely.
Yep. Right. And so that's why every state reconfigured itself into bicameral legislative bodies, and the Senate within each state represented the counties. The senators were there as representatives of the county government, not the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this, so.
But they're all there ultimately to serve the people through the Constitution, which should be written correctly to serve the people.
Correctly, because
by consent and nothing outside of the will.
Anytime
it gets into my personal life, it becomes a problem. And that's really the key point, I think.
And as Madison pointed out, that the people always have the final check, because if you don't like your senator, then you replace your county commissioners or supervisors who are appointing them. If you don't like your senators in the U.S. government, then you actually change your state legislatures so that they appoint the right people. And so so we always have the final check. But as a Republican form of government, Sherman and the states, I mean, the epiphany was so quick that Madison became the huge champion for this, because the sovereignty of the sub-element of government needed representation as well. And it created this check and balance amongst the legislatures, or within Congress and each of the state legislatures. So anyway, anywho.
I'd love to get whatever information you have on that. I'd like to read up on it to get a better appreciation.
Oh, absolutely. I will get it to you.
No problem. And I'm beginning to see it in a little bit of a different light, but we'll see how times go on.
Sure.
The other thing is anything you can give us to kind of give us a synopsis and bring us up to par and exactly what it is you're doing and the role you're playing?
Sure, no problem.
And then I'll share that with all the players on my end.
No problem.
And then we'll get a meeting as soon as possible in a room where we have time to talk. We should do it where we have unlimited time, you know.
Absolutely.
We know we come at the end of the day, maybe. I don't know. What time zone are you in?
I'm in the Pacific time zone, same as Francine. So I'll actually reach out to Francine and let her know that I'm going to be sending her stuff.
All of this stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll talk with her. I'll talk with Brent and have Brent make contact with Francine to make contact with you and get you two guys together. Brent is an amazing individual. He's just a fountain of knowledge, especially under the common law. He's written many books. He wrote a book on the militia of the several states, which we took and created a course out of it for the militia and growing that militia. He's written a number of books, and one of his the favorite book I like, because this is how I found him, was The Excellence of the Common Law. And that's a book you really should get a hold of and read. It's powerful. He's full with all kinds of sources from where his information comes from. And that's what I can appreciate, because you go out there and look for information. Nobody gives you their source, and they expect you to just believe the conclusions you're reading, you know, and it's not so.
Right, right. You know? That's right. I actually read. That's why I told you earlier. I actually read the ratification debates. I read these vetoes.
I need to read that, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, God bless you. Thank you so much for what you do, and we will be working together. There's no doubt in my mind.
Anytime you want to do another interview, just let me know. I mean,
we'll do.
You know, just work it out with Francine.
Sure, no problem.
You know, as long, give her one of, you know, two or three dates, and I'll make sure my calendar doesn't conflict with it.
Yeah, she told me the Tuesdays are usually your best days, so that's no problem. We can work around that.
Tuesdays.
No problem. All right. Well, God bless you, John. Take care. Thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, good talking to you. Good meeting, and let's talk soon.
You bet we will.
Right.
Bye now. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so as you can tell, there's a little bit more that we need to uncover on this, because there are still some questions that I have as to, you know, how many, where citizens' grand juries can be, regarding the constitutional standing and the historical standing of citizen grand juries. Because in some respects, it seems like they're not necessarily done by county, but they can be done by county or what. So those types of questions, and what I want to do is I want to distill this all down so that you can just digest this, you know, each of the facts by bullet point. This is this, this is this, this is this, so that you have a full grasp of this. And as you can tell, the sheriff actually has the ability to exercise, the sheriff and the district attorney, or I should say the lead prosecutor for your county, whatever you call them, they have the ability to call for a citizen's grand jury to actually investigate. What's really important, and maybe what I will do is I will provide a set of base documents so that every person on the grand jury will completely understand what in context is constitutional and what in context is not constitutional. We do not have to believe that the federal government has the ability to usurp any power they feel necessary, that there is a clear process, that if it is not an enumerated power or an amended power through the proper Article 5 process, then it is an unconstitutional role, responsibility, and power, just as what we're pointing out with Republic Review. Therefore, when somebody, let's say your state legislator, is voting for the passing or receiving federal money that is based on unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers exercised by the federal government or the general government, then you will actually understand that that state legislator or legislatures are violating the Constitution. And they need to know this. The other thing is, we need to start establishing. So there's all sorts of little things that we need to do, but we can do those things. The thing that we have to get done, we must get done immediately, is, you know, and as I try to tell people, we can do these things in parallel. We can start working on all these different things in parallel, but the priority has to be Republic Review. If you've ever done, you know, the if you've ever read Covey's Seven Most Successful Habits, or, you know, the Seven Habits of Most Successful People, is that, you know, there's these quadrants, you know, the things that you got to do that are urgent, things that you need to do, and things that are important, and things that are, you know, aren't so. So you have these quadrants, and I know I'm not speaking to it precisely, but the fact of the matter is, Republic Review has to be that urgent thing, and what he refers to in his book is fighting the alligators. In other words, we got to drain the swamp, and he actually uses that metaphor in his book. You got to drain the swamp. So here you are digging and digging and draining the swamp, and whenever alligators come up, you have to fight them off, because if you don't, they will kill you, and the swamp will never be drained. And so what we're looking at, what we're actually asserting, is that we have to assert and actually exercise Republic Review. If we do not, they are still continually gradually working in a progression of ways, and, you know, a series of different things that are moving and working in combination against us, whether that be the economy, whether that be, you know, this health crap and so forth. What we need to do is we need to ensure that we exercise Republic Review so that the states take full control and start articulating what is the best thing for this republic. I do not believe, and I cannot believe, that moving towards a globalist government is the best way. We need to actually slowly disconnect ourselves from China. If you haven't been hearing the news, I mean, I believe Tucker Carlson is talking about the dependencies on China, as I have been doing for months and years. The fact of the matter is, my friends, if we do not exercise Republic Review and disconnect ourselves and start pulling back, you know, as everything falls off, it's kind of like, if you've ever seen the drag or the pull that a sinking ship has in the water, if you're not far enough away from that, you will be pulled down with it. And so America can be pulled down with the failing of the world economy and all these other factors, where it all just sucks all the countries into this. We have the ability. So anyway, let me get into some social media information. Actually, I promised that I would talk about coronavirus. So apparently June 28th, and I'm not going to get all this done, so I will get the rest of this into our next episode, because you're going to want the facts on this. Apparently June 28th, 2017, the World Bank announced the first ever pandemic bonds. 2017, let me see, that's when Trump was president. This wasn't under Obama's administration. This happened under Trump, or I should say it happened under him, but this happened while he was in office, because I think that they were trying to create a mechanism and a tool to actually start wedging the world in a direction through this manipulation. And I say manipulation because listen to this. The World Bank announced the first ever pandemic bonds to support 500 million or half a billion pandemic emergency financing facility. In other words, they were going to create this bond of a pool of money so that any country, even third world nations, could come and get money from them. According to their announcement, they said, these specialized bonds, quote, specialized bonds aimed at providing financial support to the Pandemic Emergency Financing Facility, PEF, a facility created by the World Bank to channel surge funding to developing countries facing the risk of pandemics. So to be very specific, it is going towards, quote unquote, developing countries, not the United States or nowhere else. They're just trying to, it's called socialism, if you understand, throwing money towards these governments, whether they, successfully implement these things, but developing countries. Quote, this marks the first time that the World Bank bonds are being used to finance efforts against infectious diseases and the first time that pandemic risks in low-income countries is being transferred to the financial markets. The PEF, or the Pandemic Emergency Financial Facility, will provide more than a half a billion dollars to cover developing countries against the risk of pandemic outbreaks over the next 5 years through a combination of bonds and derivatives priced today, a cash window, and future commitments from donor countries for additional coverage. So the big question, how much and what countries donate? And so how much is actually sitting in this? The Pandemic Emergency Financial Facility covers six viruses. So this is in 2017. I'm still quoting here. This PEF covers six viruses that are most likely to cause a pandemic. These include the new orthomyoxivirus, the new influenza pandemic virus A is what they're calling it. And guess what the second virus is on this list? The coronavirus. Then they have SARS, MERS, and Floroverdere, or Dede, which is basically Ebola and Marburg, and other zoonotic diseases that come out of Crimea, Crimean, Congo, Rift Valley, and Lassa fever, and so forth. So, and apparently, they've identified what they considered the pandemic diseases would be. And wow, isn't this interesting? In 2017, they created this PEF to help, in other words, a mechanism that once triggered will allow all sorts of funding to go to developing countries. This is all based upon, my friends, this is all based upon the possibility of an actual pandemic being called, quote, in other words, being asserted. So what just happened? Well, the World Health Organization called for and actually described and, well, how do you say it? They announced it. They declared that there is a world pandemic. So this is the first time that this has happened. And, oh, by the way, the World Bank has created this vehicle for this so that we can quickly distribute a half billion dollars out to these countries. Is it just a coincidence? My friends, I'm here to tell you that there are never any coincidences when it comes to politics. If anybody believes that, oh, that was kind of nice, it was insightful, no, this was a setup, period. And the question is, and I've been telling my friends that what we're dealing with here is BioX, a biological warfare exercise, and they're trying to find out mechanisms, portals, and pathways of how pandemics can be more effectively exercised in the future. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help, and God bless. We'll be back in our next episode regarding social media and other things. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.